When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Every few weeks we catch up with Jacob Wiedering. Our Carlton interviews are for Hyundai, great sponsors of this program and long-term partners of the Blues. The Hyundai Staria load van fits in everything. So the Blues are hot. That was a high-quality game that they emerged victorious in against the Giants on Saturday. Jacob wasn't moving that well by the end of it with the corked cord. So let's check in. Jacob Wiedering, always great to have you on the program.
Good to be back, Jared. Thanks for having me.
What does a Tuesday morning look like at the club?
Tuesday's a little bit stretched out. In the mornings, we typically get in just before 8 o'clock. We just had a meeting with the players. We do that every week just to sort of review and then review the week that had just gone by in the game and then, I guess, set up training and what this week will look like as a playing group. So, and then the next 2 hours is sort of our own time. We do any sort of prep and recovery, strapping, and then training meeting at 10, training at 10:30, and then sort of our day gets underway from there. So I wouldn't say it's cruisy. The boys are certainly doing stuff, but yeah, it's a bit more flexible and individual with your time.
Is the meeting you've just had, is that a Michael Voss-led meeting? Does it deal with specifics or sort of the overall of what happened on Saturday?
Yeah, no, it's a purely player-led meeting. So Mondays, I guess, was our first day in, and that's when the reviews take place, your lines and your team review. But we as players just go over any points that we want to go over. So there were certain scenarios in the game. There might be some stuff to clean up around the club and certain habits maybe and training standards and whatnot. So it's just more of a messaging to the group from the leaders and any queries from the group back to the leaders. So it's a good little time to say what you got to say and then get the week underway.
Yeah, good. If I saw you this morning, how would you be moving around?
Better than you think. I was pretty sore on Saturday. I mean, I've had a few decent corks in my time and I just tend to bleed quite a bit, and it's as most would know, it's you know pretty debilitating when you do get one right in the quad. But no, I've compressed it really well, iced it, and yeah, back moving in some capacity today. So hopefully have a good run around on Thursday if all goes well, and yeah, I should be right for this week.
Do you go onto a program of sort of a few hours of compression and ice? Do you interrupt sleep? How intense is that the period immediately afterwards?
Yeah, I mean the first night's probably the worst, and then after that you're doing your absolute best. You're always compressing it and icing it. To be honest, Jared, it's what you do most weeks with the hits week off. So just a little bit annoying that it probably bled quite a bit and you sort of have to play out the game and just get through. So I'm just glad the boys played the way they did in the middle and, yeah, it gave me a little bit of a rest in that second half, which was good.
Yeah, so what sort of adjustments do you make on the fly in your game? I suppose that's a moment where you have to box clever for a bit when you can't move the way you'd like to.
Yeah, I mean, with the way you play system now and the way teams play defence, you're sort of always active and, I guess, involved. But for me, I just try to be a little bit smart, stay a little bit deeper. And you've got to give a lot of credit to the way the midfielders played. I mean, the ruck combo, we can talk about it, but they were excellent. And Cripper and Walshy's games were, you know, one for the ages. So they did some really good work out of the middle and probably kept it in our front half a lot more in that second half. And obviously we got the result, which made it a lot easier on us defenders.
So the defensive unit, you're having interruptions and it hasn't impacted tremendously yet. So when you're the settled group versus when you're getting injury and players are coming in and going out, so McGovern and Saad, and I'll ask you about Williams in a moment, but how do you navigate your way through injury and disruption, but sort of hold your patterns together?
Yeah, no, I guess there's probably a few things to go over. I mean, it's not ideal when you do have soft tissue injuries throughout games, and we've lost a few troops over the last couple of weeks, but we've talked about squad mentality and getting the next bloke in, and you've got to give a lot of credit to Lockie Cowan and Lewis Young and the way they came in, especially, you know, Lockie Cowan as a younger guy to come in and do what he did. I thought he was excellent on the day. And then, you know, to adjust on game day with, you know, I was labouring, Zach Williams gets subbed out, and I think Matt Kennedy played a little bit of time at halfback as well. So, again, I think I've spoken about it before with you, Jared, but it's a bit of maturity, understanding your role and just getting it done. And another guy I want to celebrate as well is Jordan Boyd, going over to Toby Green, and Toby's an unbelievable player, as we know. So just for Jordan to nullify him and do his absolute best whilst getting on the end of a few was also good. So as a defensive unit, we're not too worried. Yes, we're probably low on numbers at the moment, but I know the boys are doing their absolute best and most to try and get back as soon as possible. So I guess it's good depth, to put it simply.
Do you know whether Zach Williams will be available or whether he'll be out?
I'm not too sure. I think it's pretty touch and go, I assume. Like myself, he'll be on a similar program in just rehabbing it and trying to recover and prepare as you know, as best as possible. I'm not sure how much training he'll do. We'll certainly assess that today and Thursday. But with his past, and I can sort of speak to it a little bit with my Achilles tendonitis, which led to a calf injury as well, you've got to be really careful at loading different parts of the body that shouldn't be when something else is labouring. So I'm not too sure what the outlook is, but again, you assess today and then go again Thursday.
Jordan Boyd, is the moment that he goes back with the flight, is that has its sequel tonight at the tribunal, which is the secondary contemplation. But is that sort of moment celebrated within a club, the sheer bravery of that?
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely is. I mean, it's a touchy subject, isn't it, Jared?
Yeah, it is.
In the AFL world, and understandably so, because, you know, there's two sides to it. And you certainly don't want to take out, you know, the hardness and the ability to go at the ball. And I guess it's certainly a teaching point that I think a lot of clubs and players really have to understand. If you are going for the ball, you have to have eyes for it and obviously make a legitimate attempt. I guess the action as well of marking it, you know, it can end pretty badly if there's a knee up and, you know, it connects with Boydie's head and that sort of thing. And they're sort of all the scenarios that are running through, I guess, the AFL world at the moment. So, but I guess if we, you know, we go back to what Boydie was able to do, he went back with a flight and did what he did. We certainly celebrated it as a group. And again, it just played into his ability to nullify Toby and do his role for the team. So,
yeah.
What will be, I guess, tonight. So, it's sort of hard to comment on, you know, with another player from a different squad, as you know. But, I guess we'll see what they say tonight.
So, the action of going back with the flight, do you think, over the period of your career, has that attracted a greater level of caution? Is it discouraged, or will it always be a fundamental part of sometimes you just have to go? Where are we, do you think, in the evolution of that?
Yeah, I think you still have to go. We play a game that has an element of risk, and I've heard a few past players talk about it. And obviously, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, go back as fast as you can and, you know, with sort of no concern for your own body. And, I think we've still got to encourage, you know, the courage of the game, and there is certainly a risk element of it and a hardness. But there's definitely, as I said, sort of a coaching element to the player that supposedly has that duty of care coming at someone that can't see them coming. So for me personally, as a defender, I'm always probably coming forward to that and maybe spoiling it. And you're gonna take body as long as you're making a play on the ball. And I think that's the most important part of this. You have to make a play on the ball and not the body, especially when you leave the ground.
Yeah, yeah. What was the best aspect when you reviewed yesterday of what the team was able to do on Saturday, particularly from 20 points down halfway through the third quarter?
Yeah, I think our adjustment, we sort of came into half time and were pretty, I guess, positive. There was a little bit of frustration, don't get me wrong, about how they scored their goals. They were scoring a lot of turnover. They scored a few goals from D50, which, you know, isn't usually the case with us. We usually scramble quite well down there, and we probably weren't connecting. We're doing quite well in the midfield and at centre bounce, and we weren't connecting. So there was just a few little tweaks, and again, you've got to give a lot of credit to the leaders in Cripp and Walshy and what they were able to do out of the middle, George, and then Charlie and Harry up forward. And you've got to mention Tom DeConning playing sort of a lesser percentage in the ruck and then getting on the end of a few pretty nice goals. So slight adjustments, slight tweaks, and just executing what we do best, and that's pressure and contest and putting a score on the board. So, yeah, that was the game, pretty simple in the second half.
Two ruckman works for some teams and not for others, and sometimes it's a period of figuring out. Do you feel like because Tom can play as a legit forward, not just a ruck going forward, does this suit Carlton, do you think?
Yeah, it's an ongoing conversation. I mean, you look at the weekend and the way it worked. I thought Pitto was excellent in the ruck contest. He obviously won the hit outs and just his ability to, one, contest and follow up, and two, lay some tackles and do a job for the middies was terrific. And then you go on the flip side and TDK would pinch it in there and then go forward. And when you've got three guys in the names of Charlie Curnow, Harry Mackay and Tom DeConning down forward, as any key back would say, it would be pretty nerve-wracking to play on them when there's, you know, 55, 60 inside 50s coming at you. So it's a nasty sort of three-headed combination, and it clearly worked for us on the weekend. And if they can continue to build that synergy and chemistry, I think it's certainly something we can use in the future.
The layers, Jacob, to the game as you've added them across, so 6 games, 7 weeks. So the clearance game was there on Saturday when maybe that had been absent, while the turnover game had been excellent. Just give me a picture of the layers of your game and how you've been working at them and adding them across the early phase of a season.
Yeah, I mean, I was obviously out for the first two games, and I thought the defence held up incredibly well as a team. Brisbane was certainly, again, like the weekend, a tale of two halves, and our third quarters have been, you know, quite good. So I guess you look at the turnover game, you look at the stoppage game, and you want to be number one in everything, and at times that's certainly not going to be the case. So our ability to score off turnover has been quite good, and a massive change from last year, which we weren't quite able to do. And our stoppage game, on the flip side, without Walshy, probably wasn't getting the same bang for buck down forward either. But, you know, it's about putting all the puzzle pieces together, and when you can get them all going in one, we're a pretty hard team to stop. So we'll just keep working on those parts of our game. Certainly you've got to defend it as well. And when you're not defending turnover, you're going to, you know, have points scored on you like we did against Adelaide. So when you let 100 points through, it's never good for a team defence, and you're probably going to lose games. So little adjustments, as I said, and if we can put it all together, it's pretty exciting.
We do have a couple of exciting games coming. So Geelong on Saturday and then Collingwood on Friday. So yeah. I would imagine 80,000 plus followed by 90,000 plus. Is that'd be doing it for you as a prospect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty motivating. I'd say even now, nine years in, it's still very nerve-wracking to go out there and play in front of such a huge crowd. But I've said it before, Jared, we've especially last year in the back end, we were used to playing in front of those crowds, which probably set us up a little bit for our finals. And just to, I guess, perform in those pressure moments, which we're able to do against Sydney and Melbourne. So it'll be a very good test. Collingwood, I guess some would say, got their mojo back on the weekend, and they looked terrific in their second half. And Geelong are, you know, top of the table. So Hawkins and Cameron will be a big task and a good test. But I know our boys will be certainly up for it.
Is it always Hawkins for you, Jacob?
Typically, yes. Jeremy would probably run me off my legs. just the way, you know, he's an excellent player. You look at him and Charlie and probably hold them in similar regard in the way they play the game. So, I mean, last year it was probably, whoever kicked more goals out of those two was going to win the game, and that was certainly the case. So hopefully we can limit, you know, his impact and Tom's impact, and Charlie and Harry can have a good day. But I'm sure it'll be a really good contest, and we're looking forward to it.
Give me a little picture of your preparation. So when you know an opponent well, like Hawkins, who you've played on for years now, what sort of brushing up do you do in the days leading up to the game?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, Jared. I mean, for me personally, over the last 4 weeks, it's probably played two pretty solid games for myself, and two, albeit it was labouring on the weekend, but the Adelaide game was, I certainly struggled quite a lot. So you try and be as positive as possible and understand a week is a long time in football. And for me, it's just adjusting little things. There's certainly got to be pressure and delay up the ground for me to be able to do really well. But I've got to be physical. He's a very, very big 40. He's very good on the lead up. They look for him. They're one of the better sides at getting into that 50 to 70 zone, and then obviously getting some marks inside 50, which is where you get your best shot quality from. So he's a quality player. And again, there may be times where I'm on Jeremy Cameron as well, and he can kick him from anywhere. So you certainly review those games that you've played on them in the past, and then you look at previous weeks how they've performed, and you go to work on how to stop them. But it's never down to one individual. It's certainly down to a team defense, and hopefully Lewis Young and Kempe can help me, and I can help them in whatever capacity they need.
It'll be enthralling for sure. So we're deep into a footy set, or sort of right immersed in it. Where do you find your sporting outlet, Jacob? Do you, outside of footy, is there another sport that you're passionate about?
I love my NFL. It's not on at the moment, which is a little bit frustrating. I know you love your NFL as well. The NBA, there's a bit going on at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah,
Stanley Cup finals, the NBA finals. Boys always have brackets and pick'ems and that sort of thing. So there's always some competitive juices flowing at the club with that sort of stuff. And certainly the F1 with what's going on with a couple of Aussies in there. I was at the Oz GP a couple of weeks ago, and that was an incredible day and a very cool race with Max going out. So it's typically been quite boring the last few years with Max winning, but no, it's been good. Been good. So
terrific. Jacob, it's always great to catch up. Thank you. Generous with your time as ever. Enjoy the day, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there on Saturday. Hopefully moving well.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Jared. Cheers.
Jacob Wiedering with us from Carlton. The Hyundai Staria load van fits in everything from 49,490 drive away. T's and C's apply.